Welcome to ChatGPT Curious, a podcast for people who are, well, curious about ChatGPT. I'm your host, Dr. Shantae Cofield, also known as the Maestro, and I created this show to explore what ChatGPT actually is.
Really, though, are the files in the computer?
How to use it, and what it might mean for how we think, work, create, and move through life. Whether you're skeptical, intrigued, or already experimenting, you're in the right place. All that I ask is that you stay curious. All right, let's get into it. Hello, 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 my curious people, and welcome to episode 10 of ChatGPT Curious. I am your grateful host, The Maestro, and today we are talking about AI bubbles, more specifically answering the question, are we in an AI bubble? Very short, sweet, simple answer, abso-fucking-lutely, yes, we are. We can all see it. We are. So why am I dedicating a full episode to this? Well, like the title of this podcast, I'm curious. I personally wanted to do a little digging and put some numbers and stats to the feelings and offer up and think about what, you know, this bubble and the bubble bursting could mean. So here we are. But real quick, before we get into that, because I want to encourage more of this behavior, I want to share a question from the audience. The good homie Rachel, she reached out and asked, is it better to use ChatGPT or what if I'm using Gemini? I don't really know why I'm using Gemini, but I am, so should I switch? For those of you who don't know, I'm having a tough time with the words today. For those of you who don't know, Gemini is Google's LLM, right? LLM stands for Large Language Model. My answer, use whatever you like. They all kind of do the same thing. And the average user, I honestly don't know that they'll actually notice a difference. You know, when everything first came out, I was very bullish on ChatGPT because it was objectively better. But as is with the case with all things, the competitors catch up. So why did I actually make this podcast ChatGPT Curious? Because it's the most known. I gave myself permission to talk about other things. It's also the model that I use. But I gave myself permission to talk about other things AI related, but I wanted people to... When you say LLM, or no one says that, when you say AI or like chatbot, or, you know, people just know ChatGPT. It's kind of like kinesio tape. I worked for Rock Tape many moons ago, but that is a type of kinesiology tape. But the number, the first person, my first to market, they typically get the biggest market share and people know what it is. And so if you're trying to educate the masses, it's easiest to use the household name, which is ChatGPT. But like I said, I was bullish on ChatGPT because it was objectively better. But as is the case with all things, the competitors catch up. If you have, you know, a specific use case, you might prefer one model more than the other. Or maybe if you're using a bunch, maybe you're like, I like this for this and this for that. That's cool. Go ahead. But at this point in time, if someone was like just starting out now, it's pretty much vibes. Like, what do you like better? Okay, cool. And just go with that because they can all like do all the things. For example, right? We think about Google Home versus Alexa. Like, I'm a Google Home person. This is a Google Home house because I had like a million things coming in. I think back actually to my friend Caroline. She's always been into tech. She actually does WordPress websites, and she had a Google Chromecast, and this was like a zillion years ago, like 2014. And I like legit couldn't understand what it was. It felt like the files are in the computer. I was like, the TV's in the TV, the phone's in the TV. Like, what the fuck? The computer's in the TV. I didn't understand what it was, right? And, you know, look how far we've all come. But it's the same thing, right? They all do the same shit and just pick the one that you like. So use whatever you want. And if you have any other questions, please hit me up. I would love to answer them if I can. And if I can't answer them, I'll make something up. I'll use ChatGPT and make up an answer. But it sparked conversation, and if you're wondering, I'm guessing someone else is wondering as well, which means I can go down the rabbit hole. Maybe I make a new episode. We'll see. But either way, DM me at the Movement Maestro or text me 310-737-2345. It will be green. It's my sideline. It is me. All right. So back to this AI bubble, right, that we are in. So what does bubble actually mean? A bubble, quite simply stated, is when the perceived and projected value of a sector far outweighs the actual value. All right, very simple. The bubble bursts when, you know, similar to the Wizard of Oz, the curtain gets pulled back and folks really see what's going on. All right, we have been here before, folks. Let's enter a little story time. So let's go back to the mid-1990s. Gosh, I'm born in the 80s, right? I'm an 85 baby, so I remember this. Mid-1990s, right? Internet is new, it's exciting. there's investors, venture capitalists. Public is thinking like, this could change everything. Any company that had .com in the name, it would get money. Whether it was real or had like a real model or not, like, is getting money. Stock prices for internet companies went way, way, way up. Like, they doubled and tripled in a day, right? We moved to the late 1990s, early 2000s. Companies are promising, they're raising money by promising eyeballs, right? We're going to get website visitors. They're not promising we're going to make a lot of money and you should invest in us because of that. They're like, no, we're going to get visitors and like eventually they'll buy. So they're like, we're going to get a lot of visitors, right? Traditional valuation metrics said, we said, fuck those things, right? Earnings, profit margins, revenue stability, fuck that. We're looking at website visitors. That's what we're going to get. All right, so investors, they're piling in, you know, thinking they're going to make money. The stock prices go up, go up, go up. The NASDAQ, right, it's a very tech-heavy stock exchange. It quadrupled, actually, between 95 and 2000, right? This is just like massively inflated valuations for many of these companies. And then 2000 to 2002, the crash. Right? We're in the Wizard of Oz and we're seeing behind the curtain. Early 2000s, reality setting in, many dot-com companies, they have no money left. They just burned through all the cash. They ain't got no fucking money, no profit. Some of the bigger, you know, high-profile businesses, they collapsed. And that started triggering a panic. Investors start dumping the shares. The NASDAQ fell almost 80% from its March 2000 peak to 2002. Trillions of dollars of market value evaporated because that shit's fake. If you want to wake up and you put yourself in a bad mood, wake up and go learn about the stock market. This Google, you don't have to Google it. We're on ChatGPT. ChatGPT, what shorting a stock means. Just go read about that stuff. You'd be in a bad mood in 2 seconds. But we see trillions of dollars of market value evaporates. Retirement savings, mutual funds, venture portfolios, they are wiped the fuck out. Layoffs, they're just sweeping through Silicon Valley. Sweeping through. Startups are folding. Amazon? Amazon lost 90% of its stock value before it recovered. 90%. Fun fact that we'll kind of circle back to later, it took 9 years for Amazon to turn a profit. 9 years. Actually, I'm just going to say it now. OpenAI, parent company of ChatGPT, it is not on track for that. At all. At all. So we've been here before, the writing's on the wall. The outcome here, right? Economic damage, people losing their jobs, retirements, investments, the slowdown. It did slow down the economy, right? Investor distrust. After the crash, people were more skeptical to invest in tech. But obviously, clearly, that shit rebounds, right? But I just want to paint the picture of we've been here before, right? Does this sound familiar? Because it should. We're literally seeing this happen again with AI. To slap AI, powered by AI, on the fucking name of something. And people are like, all right, give it money. You're going to go to the sky, going to the moon. All right. Let's give you some numbers, though. All right. Because just to go away from all it being all about vibes, right? That's one of the reasons I made this episode is I want it to be actual data and some metrics. But like I said in episode 2, where I talked about the environmental impact, there is like zero transparency with these companies. So I want to give data, but the data that I'm presenting and that's out there and that you can find is like somewhat speculative and like kind of guessing and, you know, which to me means that the numbers are probably worse than we see. But all right, some numbers here. We're just going to do for OpenAI and Anthropic, right? OpenAI is the company that owns ChatGPT and Anthropic is Claude's parent company. So OpenAI, annual revenue, between 12 to 13 billion. So there's like a bunch of fucking sources, but we'll go with 12 to 13 billion. Billion with a B. How much they're bringing in. Losses in 2024 alone, 5 billion. Expected losses for 2025 this year, 8 to 9 billion. Losing, not profit, losing. OpenAI is projected to lose $115 billion through 2029 before profitability. Like, what? And yet, their valuation is $300 billion. Right? So this is, when I say they're projected to lose that, that's like, you know, altogether. But from start to 2029, losing $115 billion before profitability. Yet they are valued at $300 billion. How? What's going on? Anthropic? Revenue, $5 billion. They're doing a little bit better here, right? So they're making less money, right? Revenue is $5 billion, it's a smaller company. Losses in 2024, $5.6 billion, but that's projected to decrease, going down to about $3 billion in 2025. So that's this year. Valuation, $183 billion. All right, I don't want you guys to fall asleep with me reading the numbers here. So if we just zoom out, because I also want to bring in two of the big, big bad boys, right? We bring in Google and Meta. Right, OpenAI and Anthropic, they are AI-specific companies. If we bring in other players that do have AI, but they're not AI-specific, like Google, right, their parent company is Alphabet, and Meta, right, we start to see even bigger numbers, and we kind of see like who survives this. Google, or Alphabet, has a market cap of $2.3 trillion. Just so you know, I said valuation for the other ones because they're private companies. Alphabet and Meta, they're public, so you say market cap, okay? But Alphabet has a market cap of $2.3 trillion. Meta has a market cap of $1.3 trillion. The AI sectors of each of these businesses often isn't broken out, but no matter what, the parent company remains profitable because their main product isn't AI. So they're actually, Meta's actually in the negative for their AI sector, but it doesn't matter because they make so much fucking money. Both of them, both Google and Meta, how? Via ads. That is I'm not sure if people know that, but like that's how they fucking make money. Ads. And it's a gazillion dollars, right? $2.3 trillion for Alphabet, that's Google, $1.3 trillion for Meta. I think it's worth noting just because, you know, the connection here of, circle back to episode 2 where I talked about the data centers and everyone's like, the data centers and AI, and they like are blaming things like OpenAI and they're blaming ChatGPT, and it's like, a significant portion of data center usage, and this is of all the data centers we already had data centers, we're making new ones, we already had them. A significant portion of data center usage is for recommender systems. That's for fucking ads, right? It's for getting recommended the next video, the next reel in your on Instagram. It's for getting recommended the ad that's most suited to you, that you're most likely to buy something from. So it's just worth noting, right? But how does this happen? All right, how does it happen? We go back to the two numbers from before, OpenAI, Anthropic, right? These companies are losing billions of dollars every year. OpenAI, $8 to $9 billion this year it's going to use, but it has a valuation of $300 billion. How? Well, my friends, greed. That is the answer. Greed. It's at the fucking heart of everything. All the problems, it's greed. If you're a finance bro listening to this, what are you doing? I don't have that person in my audience, but I guess, hello. If you're a finance bro listening to this, I am sure that, you know, there's a good chance that maybe you disagree that it's not actually how this happens, and that's fine. But it is. All right. Greed. Investors buy in, right? Investors invest the money in hopes to be able to sell later at a higher valuation and make money. They're not fucking doing this, but like, I'm going to help humans and move us forward. No, those motherfuckers are like, I'm going to make money. I'm going to get that bag. That's what they're saying. Right. As I'm sitting here and doing the outline for this episode and do my research, I'm like, how the fuck do these people like just keep getting money? Like, and it is greed. But like, what are some of the nuances here? What are some of the ways and some examples here? I'm going to give you like the top three here. One is government contracts. Right. The government does invest in some of these things. And that also beefs up like the juices, the market there. Investors, some of them have a stake in the profits as well, like a direct stake. So the example here is Microsoft has poured in over $13 billion to OpenAI, and they've structured it so that they get 49% of profits until a cap is hit. So it's like, hey, we're going to put money in here because like when you make a profit, we get a lot of it. Right? They're directly invested in it. Again, greed though, right? How much money can I make here? The investors, right, having a stake in the profits here, and they're being told, right, hey, if you invest in this, this technology is going to decrease your, it's going to make more money. How? It's going to decrease your expenses by getting rid of employees. That's whack. And also increase your profit by increasing productivity. This is not true. It's not happening, right? But this is, they have a stake in it. This is what they're being told. So they're like, all right, cool. I'm going to do it. Make more money. And then the big thing, honestly, what keeps people investing in this is everyone wants to be a part of the company that achieves AGI, right? That's artificial general intelligence. I have talked about that. If you go to the episode I did, What is AI? I've talked about that. But right, artificial general intelligence is Skynet, right? For those of you that are familiar with Terminator, it is that. It's like sentient, all-knowing, can do all the things, function as well as a human does. That type of AI. We are far from that. Right? And these owners, the owners at OpenAI, Sam Altman, right? They talk a good game. They talk a real good fucking game. It's giving Theranos. Does anyone remember that? That was that blood testing company that was founded by Elizabeth Holmes. That shit was fake. And it was like the investors just didn't know shit. And they were like, this sounds great. We're going to make so much money. Great. Here's more money. And then she was like, oh, shit, it's fake. All right. So there's a little, maybe a little difference there because Theranos is fake. And like AI is real. Like this exists. But like AGI, we are not there. There's a bit of a fake there. But I'm going to show my age here. Right. And talk about jumping the shark because, and that's how, that is what's showing my age is this reference of jumping the shark. So OpenAI recently entered into a $300 billion contract with Oracle. Okay. Oracle is a US tech giant. They're best known for their database software. But today it's mainly a cloud and enterprise computing company. It rents out data centers, servers, and AI infrastructure to power other companies' applications. Right? So OpenAI enters into a $300 billion contract with them. They say, we're going to pay you $300 billion, right? OpenAI says to Oracle. In my opinion, this is Fonzie jumping that shark. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, there's a show called Happy Days, old show. In it, we all know the Fonz, right? Fonzie literally jumps over a shark on his motorcycle. So when we say someone or something has jumped the shark, right, it typically refers to like when a show attempts to use a flashy stunt or some bullshit like that to keep people interested. And when it does that, it very much reveals that its best days are likely behind it. Right. So the Oracle spectacle, and this just happened. This is why I'm reporting on this. OpenAI signs a $300 billion contract with Oracle over the next 5 years. Right. This actually catapulted the owner of Oracle. His name is Larry Ellison. This catapulted him above Elon. Fuck that guy, in net worth for a little bit, right? That's wild. Not network, net worth for a little bit. So on the one hand, we have OpenAI and, you know, they're using this contract to be like, look, like this is how they get more money. Look, we've secured the infrastructure for GPT-6, 7, 8, you know, for the next 5 years. We're going to get to AGI. This contract right here is going to help us get to AGI. In reality, they are fucking bragging about a giant fucking bill. A $300 billion bill over 5 years. This is an unprecedented number, right? This is jumping the shark. Why? The Meta Google Cloud deal is $10 billion. $10 billion over 6 years. Even if we don't even, you know, we don't look outwards. We just say, okay, I'm gonna put the blinders on and just look at our inside of our own company. I said earlier, OpenAI, they're bringing in like $12 billion a year. Maybe, I think it's a lie, but maybe. $300 billion is 25 times their current revenue. What? What? Come on now, we are jumping the shark, right? When the biggest cloud deal in history is worth more than most tech companies make in decades, that's jumping the shark, right? It's a bubble that is, in my opinion, jumping the shark. All right, so are OpenAI's best days behind it? Who's to say? Right, but we are definitely in a bubble. Right, the day that this podcast, not this episode, but this whole entire podcast, ChatGPT Curious, the day that this launched, that was what, August 7th? That was the day that GPT-5 was rolled out. And that shit was largely and widely considered underwhelming as fuck. Right, I said it in the episodes that you likely wouldn't notice a difference between 4 and 5. And the difference that people noticed was they were like, hey, this is mean. I've like lost my friend. It was like, it was a negative difference that they noticed. Right. And so just for your own knowledge, what actually happened and why the flop of the rollout is pretty significant is that making the model larger stopped working as a way to make the model better. Because until then, that's what they had done. But it kind of defied the laws that were out there of just like how big this thing could be and like whether or not it would get better. And they just, they were like, it's going to pour more money into it. And from the earlier models, that worked. It surprised them and it actually worked. And if any of you, you know, use ChatGPT in 2018, if you use it in 2022, right, when GPT 3.5 rolled out, like, you know, like that shit was, that was way, way better than 4, right? A huge difference there. And they didn't need to, like, all they were doing is making the model bigger. But what happened with between 4 and 5 or is that, I mean, actually had like 4.1 and 5, is that they started to have to lean on these like obscure benchmarks and tests that the average user like didn't notice that these things, or just didn't know what the fuck these benchmarks are, or really understand them, or really care about them. Right? I reported on the rollout of 5, and like I watched the announcement and these things, and I'm like, what are these numbers even? What are they talking about? Like, all right, it seems like I can do some cool stuff, but not like, you know, leap years and light years, whatever, better than the previous model. Right? And so when something is better, it's self-evident. You don't have to lean on and start going to these obscure metrics that you've never heard of before. To me, that speaks to, hey, some of our better days, they are behind us. Right? But flip side, there are a lot of really fucking smart people in the world and in the tech world and in the AI world. And I do think that continued progress is possible. But the fact that there are all these different people is also what I think will slow the progress that's made towards the race for AGI. Right? What do I mean by that? Is that there's lots of different people and lots of different companies and lots of different fields. And I think that it's going to take all of them like working together for us to get to AGI. And I think you just heard the problem. All of us working together. These motherfuckers ain't trying to do that. I think the people actually working on it are, but the companies, and they're, you know, each wanting to make the most money and keep their investors and turn the profit and be the first to reach AGI. We saw that with OpenAI, right? If we go back to episode 1, and I spoke about OpenAI was called open because it was supposed to be open source. And then they were like, wait a minute, we're closing this off. It's just going to be us. Right? Not good. So I'm going to throw a name out here, a little resource here. And the first person that I heard talk about this idea of kind of uniting, you know, uniting the field and having this hybrid approach, and this is what he is actually known for as well, is Gary Marcus. He's a cognitive scientist. He's an American psychologist. He's an author. And he's a professor emeritus. I didn't know what the fuck that meant. I had to look it up. And it means like you don't teach anymore, but of psychology and neural science at NYU, right? So the dude's done some shit, and I enjoy what he says. But he speaks about hybrid AI approaches, and he calls them neurosymbolic systems. And I was like, this makes sense to me, right? A neurosymbolic system is going to combine a neural network, which is an LLM, like ChatGPT, which does what? Pattern matching. It's math. And it's going to combine that and a symbolic reasoning system, which uses rules and logic. And together, these things could lead to AGI. And it's like, okay, this makes sense. Why? And the best example that he always gives, LLMs can't play chess, right? They just be making shit up. They don't like remember the rules. And it's just like, this, why the fuck can't you play chess? Like, this should be simple here. And as I was going through the episode and doing the outline for the episode of what is AI, I started going in the rabbit hole of like cognition and understanding and logic and reasoning and thinking, because we use these terms and, you know, AI companies and OpenAI and everybody, they use these terms and it's like, but it's not thinking. It's not reasoning. We're saying that, but it's not actually doing that. And then it's like, well, what does that actually mean to be thinking and reasoning? And so it's cool to have, you know, be exposed to Gary Marcus and, oh, that's his field of work, right? A cognitive scientist and an American psychologist. And him being like, yeah, we have to combine these things. And I'm like, okay, now we're getting somewhere. This makes sense. All right. But this is a topic for another episode. And when I know way more about that shit. But my point here is that we are in a bubble and the shit we're currently doing and that combined with human greed may be what stops us from achieving AGI, Skynet, anytime soon, which probably isn't a bad thing. Like, we are not ready. We need more controls around things. Gary Marcus talks about this. But as it relates to this episode, yes, we're in a bubble. So What about if and when this bubble bursts? Like, what happens? What happens if and when the AI bubble bursts? Who stands to lose? Well, it's the same that happened during the dot-com, right? Companies, they're going to fail. Investors are going to lose money. Employees are going to get laid off. Worthless stock options, offers taken back. Consumers are going to lose out. Products may go away. They may degrade. The prices may go up. I told y'all, I'm telling y'all, OpenAI is going to raise its prices at some point. It's going to introduce a different tier. It's going to throttle the free tier. It has to do something. It's bleeding money. Services may start disappearing. The infrastructure providers will lose money. Ordinary people, and this is kind of something that I was thinking about, and I was like, oh, I wonder what this looks like. But then we can just look backwards. But your 401k and your IRA, right? You know, the big tech is the backbone of the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ. And, you know, if AI valuations deflate, so do those indexes. So that means the 401k balance will dip, right? This is obviously a bigger issue for, realistically, theoretically, it's a bigger issue for younger people that kind of have more of their 401k and such in stocks. Ideally, older workers, as you get older, like me, things go toward, they start to rebalance, they automatically rebalance towards bonds. But so that means not catastrophic if you're diversified long-term, but painful in the short run. Perhaps I just lost you there, but these are things I think about. I'm curious, right? And for some of you are maybe like, oh yeah, that'd be interesting. But y'all, I'm no Nostradamus, right? I'm not here to incite chaos. I am just here to be curious. And the numbers, they tell a story, right? They tell a story and the story. We are absolutely in an AI bubble. When it will burst, I cannot say. What will happen, I cannot say. But we can use ChatGPT to ask what happened during the dot-com bubble and, you know, maybe we'll get a good idea of that outcome. So last thing, my friends, before we wrap up, how I use ChatGPT this week. So for those of you who don't know, each episode I include a section where I briefly discuss how I use ChatGPT that day, that week. And this time I used agent mode. And I used agent mode to see if ChatGPT could pull some rental car prices from me. So remember, an agent is AI that can do more than just answer questions, right? It can actually execute tasks. So I was looking to find a one-way rental from Tempe, Arizona, to where I live in Redondo. I needed a one-way. I'm going to pick up a piece of equipment. If you follow me on Instagram, you saw that I was looking for this piece of this like stretching equipment. And my girl, Sarah Asadorian, had one. And she was like, it's yours. We have one in the closet. It's yours. But I gotta go get it. And so I was like, okay, cool. I could fly there. It's like a 6-hour drive, but I could fly there and just drive back. And I was like, okay, cool. One-way rental. But I couldn't fucking find any. So I put it in agent mode. And to put it in agent mode, there's a little plus icon on the left side of the input field. Of note, I didn't talk about this feature of agent mode in last week's episode where I talked about helpful features because I don't think it's that helpful. And I hadn't used it yet. And it was like medium helpful. But I put in agent mode. I told it the dates that I wanted. I wanted one way. And I asked for it to search all the sites. What was cool is that, like, it actually creates like a little mini computer screen inside of the window. And you can see what it's doing. It's like literally going to the website and it's like clicking the things and the little arrows moving and everything. It's like, oh, holy shit. Unfortunately, it did this shit for 21 minutes. I just let it rock. I just want to see, right? I'm not going to use heat this week. I'm going to balance out the usage, right? Let it run for 21 minutes. And during that time, it like kind of broke, I think. And I had to start it again. And I was like, are you there? But after the 21 minutes, the output basically said, reported back what each of the sources had showed, whether there was availability and if there was the prices or if like a site error occurred or if it showed sold out. And then it like gave me a conclusion at the end and was like, yes, there are SUVs available, but they're very expensive. And that third party sites are a better way to give you options because they actually tend to list more of the one-way rentals. So like that was helpful because there was a reason why when I went to the actual individual websites, it kept saying sold out, sold out. But, you know, overall, it's not the coolest use case, but it does tie into the episode, this bubble, in that one of the biggest talking points for LLM progress, for ChatGPT progress, for OpenAI progress for a while was agentic AI, right? Having agents. And that talking point has been relegated to nothing more than a hidden feature in the prompt field. Right? And the second way this ties into the episode is that I do believe, right, AI and LLMs, they have the potential to be really cool and really helpful. but we're still working on it. So that is all for today. Hopefully you found this episode helpful. I actually really enjoyed this episode. I went into it being like, oh, I'll just like kind of throw it together and like, I don't know. I just want to look at some stuff. And I was like, wow, I'm actually very interested in this. So hopefully you are as interested as I am. If not, thanks for listening anyway. If you found it helpful, interesting, consider leaving a rating or review. Thank you, Marsha. That's the most recent review that was left. Y'all are the fucking best. All of you leave these things. You're the best. Do not forget, folks, I also have a companion newsletter that drops every Thursday that is basically the podcast episode in text format, written format. So if you prefer to read or you just want that written record, join the newsletter fam. You can head to chatgptcurious.com/newsletter or you can check out the link in the show notes. As always, my friends, endlessly, endlessly, endlessly appreciative for every single one of you. Until we chat again next Thursday, stay curious.